Become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you.
Mistake was to be a sweetheart.
I take it back. We're going to get pulverized if we stay out here much longer.
You can argue with that.
Pulverized?
I'm going in closer to one of the big ones.
Closer?
You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Don't be alarmed. It's only the death breath of the Dark Lord. Don't be scared. It's only an Imperial cruiser making the jump to light speed. Relax. It's only a movie, and it's all for fun. Director George Lucas and 20th Century Fox present Star Wars. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Everyone, we are here again. I am the J-Strom, and I am here with Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. Hello, Bill.
Hello.
We're here with part two, if you will, of the sale of Star Wars. Now, what is the sale of Star Wars? I will tell you this much. If you listen to part one, it was all about the news breaking of Disney buying the Star Wars franchise, George Lucas selling everything, right, Bill?
Yes, George Lucas saying, I'm done.
I'm done with this Star Wars stuff.
I've got a new hot wife, and I want to do things with her.
That right. Since then, George's girlfriend is now his wife. So many things have changed since our last show.
A lot of things have changed, and we are some soothsayers in our predictions.
That's why it's important you go and listen to part one first. I know it seems dated, but you got to hear us talk about certain things that actually have come to be now, and it's kind of interesting. Because it's all speculation. All we're doing is speculating on that episode.
Yeah, we're not future tellers, or we don't have an inside track.
Right.
We're not the script shadow. What the hell was that guy's name?
Super Shadow. Now, this much I do know. Okay, since then, at that time, we had no idea who was going to direct the new Star Wars. But now we do. There was all sorts of names thrown about, and then finally they announced that J.J. Abrams was directing.
Yeah, that was announced of January of 2013?
I think so. And I can't remember at the time, but they announced that this guy named Michael Arndt was going to write, where he was starting writing on a script, right?
Yes.
He was going to be the, I don't know if we knew he would write the finished draft, but we knew he was working on it. But since
I think
then,
a lot of people were like, Toy Story 3, Little Miss Sunshine, is he the right guy?
Right, that's when all these names get named, we're like, oh, I don't know if he's right. But another thing is what you and I tried to do is we tried to dial it back right away because there's so much Star Wars news coming out that it's like, I don't want to comment on every single thing every day. So that's what this show is for. We're going to now talk about everything that's collected over time. You know, the different...
Some serious, in a galaxy far, far away minutia.
Right. Like, I'll tell you how maddening it's been. One day, you will read something like, Zack Snyder to direct one-shot Star Wars film. And everyone's like, I don't know, you know, The Watchmen, it wasn't that great, or 300, it was just ridiculous.
Oh, Sucker blah, blah, blah. Punch was so self-indulgent.
Yeah, you listen to that for a day, then the next day, Zack Snyder says, no one has talked to me.
Yeah, no one's talked to me about that.
It's all a made-up story, I just want to say, sorry, no. And then everyone's like, well, I wasted all that time typing out my responses on Facebook, but it's too late now. I can't take it back. You know?
I even saved them in Microsoft Word.
Just think of all the oxygen was wasted, Bill.
Ugh. The bandwidth.
The bandwidth wasted on all these Star Wars rumors. But I will say this. Okay, has this been confirmed yet that Star Wars Episode 7 is titled The Ancient Fear? Has that been confirmed yet?
No.
It's all speculation at this point, right?
Exactly. And I would think that if that was the case, Disney would confirm it.
Right.
You're not going to let that float around in the ether if it's true.
Right. So right now, it's some guy made it up, and it's still out there on the internet, right?
Yes, in his basement in New Jersey.
Yeah. His name is Warlock, is his handle. Okay, so Bill, is the release date December 18th, 2015 still?
As of this point.
Right. So many things have happened. One of the first things that happened of importance that I would say, oh, this is important, Bill, none of all this other BS, was that J.J. Abrams took over writing duties with Lawrence Kasdan.
Hi, I'm J.J. Abrams.
I'm Lawrence Kasdan. We feel very fortunate to be here in London working on the next Star Wars script.
Am I right?
Yeah, they pulled it away from Michael Arndt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he
said
he delivered his first draft and they weren't pleased with the direction he was taking.
Yeah, Michael Arndt said, I'm writing Star Wars. And they said, no, you aren't.
What was the speculation? That he was concentrating too much on new characters and JJ wanted to give the original characters a sort of send-off.
I'm not sure. See, a lot of that is speculation also.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not claiming that's the case.
I've even read that they're using his script, but they added on to it, which I don't think is true.
No, that can't be true because it says that he will not be credited for any of the writing.
Yeah, basically, this dude got a huge paycheck to write a script that will never see the light of day.
Hey, you know what? That's as long as he got the paycheck.
Yeah, it's very good. And on the last show, you kind of bring up, as we're talking about, like, who could write this, who could direct this, will it be the same person writing and directing, just all these questions, you say, hey, Lawrence Kasdan is still alive, guys. Well, apparently, listen to that show, Bill.
I was shocked that no one had brought him up. I mean, he was responsible for a good amount of Star Wars lore.
Yeah,
I mean, he was the Empire Strikes Back. He worked on Return of the Jedi. He even came up with the story for the game Shadows of the Empire.
Oh, yeah? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's credited as the story.
Just the fact that he wrote the script to not only Empire Strikes Back, but I believe Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
He's got some chops.
He's Lucasfilm lore go-to kind of guy.
Yeah, and I even say, if just go watch Silverado. This guy is a great storyteller. I've said it many times, you could take Silverado, turn it into Star Wars on some planet, and it could still work. It's an awesome story.
And he's great with dialogue. I mean, when you look at Silverado, The Big Chill, I don't know if many people have seen The Accidental Tourist.
Mm-hmm.
Even Grand Canyon. These are like ensemble films.
Yes, think of all those
really
films.
Tight dialogue.
Big Chill, Grand Canyon, ensembles, not just one guy. But one thing, you know, we're not here to knock the prequels, but how much of the dialogue in the prequels is even memorable unless you're making fun of it? Not
you
much at all.
You can't even call the prequels, they aren't ensemble films. They are, like, they're not even core character films because there's no real character created.
Well, that's
they're caricatures.
Yeah, what I'm excited about in a Star Wars film to see in this Episode 7 is characters interacting, and it's actually interesting in some way.
Yeah.
Them talking to each other like humans. That'll be great. And that's another thing that has since come out since our last show, Bill, is they actually have a cast. And this we weren't really sure at the time, but now we know for sure that the old cast is coming back.
Yes.
Of the original trilogy.
I mean, hell, even down to the point that Peter,
Mayhew?
Mayhew. I mean, this is a guy that I was kind of wondering in the back of my mind, like, he was going through a lot of surgeries. There was a lot of stuff going on, like at his appearances, he'd be in wheelchairs a lot, there was always news that he was going in for different surgeries, and it seemed like a lot was going on, and I think even back then, they kind of knew, we're bringing you back, so let's get you fixed.
Right, right.
I think that's pretty cool.
That's one thing of a lot of the stories that we read was certain actors spotted in London.
Yeah. Like
Mark Hamill spotted with Peter Serafinowicz.
That picture made me squee. I was just like, ooh, what's Peter Serafinowicz doing there? Mark Hamill, he looks great.
Yeah, Harrison Ford meeting with some guys and Carrie Fisher seen here. And everyone was like, oh, my God, they're all in London, you guys. That's exciting.
That was beyond like a conspiracy theory speculation. That was basic confirmation.
Right, right. We know it's true. It's going to happen. And, you know, there's all these other actors. First of all, the one I was excited about and I was like, this is cool, is Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
He's the guy that, I mean, not only has he become an accomplished director doing a lot of second unit stuff for Peter Jackson, but he has created, motion capture as an art form.
Right, yeah. You know it's going to be good as soon as you know he's involved.
Yeah, and I mean, is he going to be working in a motion capture capacity? Is he going to be an actual acting capacity? Anytime he's involved with something, I get excited.
I know, and you know, the thing is, like, we don't even need to know the answers yet. Just thinking about that is exciting. Like,
the possibilities.
What's he playing? You know, like, they announced the other cast members, like Adam Driver from Girls. He plays somebody in there. My guess is he's Han Solo's son. I don't know why. I just go with that.
I think it would work. He's kind of got that geeky kind of darkness outcast kind of look to
him.
He
can pull off attitude, you know?
Yeah. I think he could pull off the Han Solo kind of, what would you call that?
Cocksure attitude.
Yeah.
With some vulnerability.
Yeah.
There's also Max von Sydow has been cast, and I'm sure he'll play some kind of villain, I would think. You know, why else
either
would you
that
cast
or
him?
They're bringing back Admiral Akbar and they'll have him in full makeup. I don't know.
It's a trap!
Yeah, that would be cool. And they cast a bunch of virtually unknown actors like Daisy Ridley and that black guy from Attack the Block.
Yeah, that black guy.
John Boyega. You know, basically, they
black
have been...
black guy from 24 who was in it for two episodes.
Right. They've been around, but basically, they will be known as Star Wars actors after this is over. Am I right?
Yeah. Also, don't forget, is it Domhnall or Domhnall Gleeson, the guy from About Time and...
Mm-hmm. Domhnall Gleeson. He's from, like, the Harry
Potter... I never
Potter's.
Get the pronunciation right.
He's from the Harry Potter series, right?
Yeah, he is.
A lot of people guess that he will play Luke's son.
Ben, well, again, I'm going for EU stuff, so...
But I ask you this. If he plays Luke's son, then Luke will have to have a wife or, you know... Maybe.
Well, again, EU speculation, and Disney basically said the EU is dead. But he's a red. Luke's wife, or should I say Ginger? Luke's wife was Mara Jade Skywalker, who was a Ginger, also the Hand of the Emperor.
Famous redhead wearing all black.
Yes, very famous redhead. In fact, one of the most beloved characters of the EU would be Mara Jade.
It would be interesting if they decided to introduce her, but...
head would explode.
Let me ask
honestly.
You this. Have they cast any actresses that could play her yet, or would that be something they keep a secret?
I think that's a secret.
J.J. Abrams... J.J. Abrams loves keeping secrets, so I could imagine they could keep that a secret.
I think that they released the information of the most obvious, you know, the main cast, and a lot of people saw that picture of them on a soundstage and were like, well, where's this character? Where's that character? But there were multiple rows, you know?
Yeah. Where's Lando?
Yeah. Well, Lando was on Dancing with the Stars at the time, so...
yeah. He was busy, you guys. What's more important, Dancing with the Stars or Star Wars, okay?
He had way too many jitterbugs and jives to do.
He had priorities, you know?
Yeah, and also Gwendolyn Christie, who's Brienne of Tarth.
Yeah, she's fantastic on Game of Thrones. I have no idea who she will play in Star Wars, but I'm sure she'll be great. And the main thing is I'm ready for a Star Wars film where actors aren't stiff against green screens like Samuel L. Jackson, you know? Like,
even the digital characters were stiff.
I love Samuel L. Jackson, but come on, Mace Windu is so dull.
Yeah, Mace Windu. Well, he's Mace Windu. You can see right through him. It's just nothing there.
In the name of the Galactic Republic. But think of him, and then think of him playing Nick Fury. They gave him so much to do in the new Captain America. We know that Samuel L. Jackson can act. I just have a feeling he had no direction from George.
You know? Absolutely not.
Okay, stand here and say this.
We're dealing with a guy that would use a two-camera shoot, you know, and on a green screen, and just give them a script and be like, oh,
yeah,
just do what you want to do.
A Sith Lord?
A Lord?
Yes, a Sith Lord. But, okay, so also Lupita Nyong... How do you say her name? Nyong'o?
I have no idea. I'm not going to claim to butcher that one.
In the name of the Galactic Senate of the Republic, you're under arrest, Chancellor.
Oh. The daughter of Mace Windu? No, I'm not.
Oh, my God. You're right, Bill. That's who it is. No, she would be great.
If that came true, holy crap.
Some people have speculated that she will play the Sith girl from the Clone Wars.
Asari Ventress?
Yeah.
I don't know.
How do you
see a little young for that?
I thought her name was Asajj Ventress or something.
Or maybe I thought it was Asari.
I'd have to go back. Okay, I want to get this out of the way right away. When I was listening to that previous episode, Bill, that we did, neither one of us had watched any of the Clone Wars series.
Oh, we poo-pooed it.
And in fact, we were pretty harsh on it, saying I would never want to watch that. The animation is ugly. It's something I would never be interested in. I just don't care about the Clone Wars.
It was made by ugly people.
They suck. I hate them. I never want to meet them.
How dare they?
How dare they even attempt such a thing? But I will
say
this. They
said horrible things about my grandmother.
You have finished the Clone Wars series.
Yeah.
I have begun the Clone Wars series. I'm in season 2, about halfway. Sorry, I haven't been able to catch up. But
well, you were ahead of me. I was like, hey, slow down. And then I couldn't stop.
But I want to say this. I was so wrong about the Clone Wars series. I get that Star Wars feeling that I missed in the prequels. But the prequels never gave it to me.
these are real characters. As you watch it, you find that... Anakin Skywalker isn't the main character in the show. This is, these are the stories of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right.
And while there are episodes that concentrate on different characters, you have your Jar Jar episodes, which I at first hated, and by the end of the series, I was like, I really like Jar Jar. He's a good guy. He's a good Gungan.
He was funny. They made him funny.
They made him funny, but they also made him self-aware. Like, he knew that he was kind of an F-up, but he did his best.
Right.
And you never were like, oh, Jar Jar.
And let's
face
it.
He was pure of heart.
Right, and let's face it. Most of the characters, especially the Jedi, all got the short shrift in the prequels.
Oh, God, yeah.
They're just background players. Here in the series, they got a lot to do, and you got to know them better, and it's all the better for it, I think.
But also, as the series goes on, you realize, but also realize that this is an unwinnable situation, and the Jedi are a dated order, that it's almost time for the Jedi to die.
Yeah, you see like how it's not really working.
Yeah, and I think as Yoda starts to realize that, as Mace Windu starts to realize that, it kind of fleshes out what happens, you know, moving into Revenge of the Sith. And as I've said, I've told people over and over again, the last four episodes of the last series that all concentrate on Yoda answer so many questions and basically save... You could just skip Revenge of the Sith. Honestly, it's unwatchable. But yeah. Those last four episodes save the mythology. Like, they make Excellent. Me excited for the new films.
Awesome. Yeah, and I've loved watching them. And Emma, she's watched them, and she's like, oh, you got to catch up and stuff. I'm like, I know, okay? But it's a fun series, and I was so wrong about it. I was just so turned off by the prequels, I didn't want to give it a chance. But it's really great.
That's completely what it was.
And it's all on Netflix, too. So it's easy to just start sampling, and you don't have to pay anything for it. You know?
I mean, I could talk about the Clone Wars series for 2 hours. And it's that dense with the character exploration and...
It's so dense.
Stories dealing with Boba Fett, Obi-Wan. Anakin is lightly touched on. There's a good bit of Amidala stuff. There's a lot of really great stuff that takes
Boba
place
Fett.
On Mandalore. There's a that also involves Obi-Wan. There's some really... It's hit and miss. There are some episodes that are very wheel-spinny that don't really achieve anything, but when it hits hard.
They were even able to make the clones interesting at times, you know, and give
them
personality.
Yeah, they gave them character. They were no longer the Roger idiots.
Yeah. And they even made the, like, speaking of Roger, they made the droids, battle droids, funny. Like, they weren't funny in the movies. I would just roll my eyes, but in the show...
Oh, yeah, I just totally brain farted. Whenever you said clones, I thought of the droids.
Oh, yeah.
There are episodes that involve just the clones that are basically like Seven Samurai episodes.
Yeah, it's like almost like military stories of a unit trapped behind enemy lines and stuff.
It, like, made me care so much for some of the clone soldiers that... In that last series, as you know what's coming, there are episodes that will tear your heart out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, it's amazing what they did for the clones.
And this proves that you and I, we're not afraid to say we were wrong.
Am I totally wrong.
Clone Wars is awesome.
Clone Wars is fantastic and a worthy addition to the lore.
And they've announced a new animated series called Star Wars Rebels, which I hope is as good. You can't tell from the trailer if it's going to be aimed more towards kids. Because that's one thing. When you watch Clone Wars, sure, children can watch it. But there's stuff there for adults to watch.
You know? My God, it gets dark.
Yeah,
like,
it does.
Like, really dark. I mean, there are full-on deaths in the series.
Yeah.
Like, shocking deaths. I would almost have to say that the Clone Wars series is very PG-13.
Yeah. And they could get away with it on something like the Cartoon Network.
And this series is run by the same guy that ran the Clone Wars.
Right. The thing about the Star Wars Rebels is I know it's going to be on Disney, the Disney Channel. That's the only thing where I'm like, I think it's going to be less kind of dark.
But isn't it Disney XD? That tends to skew a little older.
Yeah, Disney XD for the older kids, like teenagers, so we'll see.
I think it'll be the same. I honestly think it'll be the same.
I hope it is, and, you know, it's Star Wars stuff, so I'm sure we'll be into it. You know?
Yeah, and you have the book coming out, A New Dawn, which is a prequel to the events of the series Rebels.
Right, I would love, like I was telling you, I'm so behind on any kind of Star Wars expanded universe. It's a losing battle. I would never catch up or even read everything. But if they're starting it over, I could certainly start at book number one.
Yeah, you could. But also, I mean, I think there's some expanded old EU that is worthy to visit.
Oh, definitely. And I've read some really good books. And here's the thing. Can you just imagine now that there will be, I have no idea who these actors will be playing, but an Adam Driver-centric novel based on his character.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be stuff like that.
I'm excited that we'll have new stuff going on.
New expanded universe, new worlds possibly? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if you look up a map of the EU worlds, it's so light. It's so congested.
Right.
At this point. Because it seems like with almost every other book, there's a new world or a new, there's even an area in that galaxy called the Unknown Regions. Because I don't think they could, like, no, it's like they ran out of space.
Yeah, no one's thought of what's there yet.
Well, the Unknown Regions is a very mysterious, kind of dark, you can get lost in area. So I think they're like, well, let's just start throwing shit in the Unknown Regions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's some stuff over there. Let's put it over there.
Yeah.
And so
that's where the Yuuzhan Vong came from.
Oh, no. So basically, they never exist now. Or no, it's alternate universe. Alternate expanded universe. So the Yuuzhan Vong. Well, let me ask you this. Did you get tired of the Yuuzhan Vong after a while? In those books?
Yes and no. You know, it depended on the writer and how they knew to use them. Because they're scary. I mean, they're really freaking scary creature.
I think I read like six of the books, or five or six, and I got sick of reading Ooglith Masker and their different the different names of their things. I got sick of reading.
Like, yeah, it was very convoluted.
Because each new author had to say, okay, here's what this is. They use this for this. And I'd be like, I know, just stop making me read this, you know?
Yeah. That got to be a little much.
They're little beetle things that they throw, or snap beetle. I don't know what it means.
No, yeah, I remember that. That's
yeah. So
it's been a while, but I mean, still, I'm in the last Star Wars book I read. That was the last book that Aaron Alston wrote before he passed. Was a another X-Wing book, and they actually brought a Yuuzhan Vong onto Wraith Squadron.
What?
So, yeah, so like a reformed one. He's one of the ones that were left behind. There's a whole new story there where I guess they were like unworthy, so that they got left behind by the Yuuzhan Vong that moved on.
Do you think what was the last book published in that expanded universe?
I would have to look.
Because they're not doing any more, are they? Or any on order?
I don't think so. I mean, the last series I read was this really crazy dark side thing involving this creature called Abeloth. It was like almost like a supernatural connection to the Force that was just inherently evil and it could possess people.
You could definitely put any books out pre-original trilogy, for sure, because it won't mess
with
anything.
It's time. Because that series of books got, by the end of it, I was just like, oh, thank God it's over.
But aren't you going to miss those characters like Jason and Jaina and, you know, the offspring?
Jason, you mean now? Like if they'd leave them behind?
Right.
I could, you know what, I could take them or leave them, because Jaina, they got way too much into her love life, and Jason, of course, became Darth Cadus. And that whole storyline, going back to how he was turned, one of my favorite books in the EU of the New Jedi Order series was kind of one that some people really hated, but I loved it. It was called Traitor, and it was just all about Jason Solo being locked into this Yuuzhan Vong thing called the Embrace of Pain, where like it fed on your pain, and the more pain you felt, the more painful it was, and that's kind of what kind of shut him down. And it was almost like they felt like perverting the good side of the Force to make it muddy. Instead of a light and dark, it was just gray.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of what, and I was like, ooh, I kind of like that. Like, it is what it is. There is no light, there is no dark, there's only...
I like that too, because
who you are.
Even in the Clone Wars, you see that the whole Jedi way of like, you know, we have no attachments, we're not in love or anything like that. Certainly you can love people, I guess, but you're not to express it, right? You're just these boring, uninteresting people who go on adventures, basically.
Yeah, you're expected to be monks.
The whole concept doesn't make any sense to me, because if you think like maybe an influence of Jedi would be samurai, right?
Yeah.
Samurai certainly serve someone. They serve a house, usually some kind of ruler. But it doesn't mean they don't have interest. Do they take lovers? Do they have wives? Do they have property?
And that was a huge bit of Obi-Wan's storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, that was great. It was a really moving part of that.
Right. You find out that he actually had feelings for a woman, you know?
Yeah.
And they were great together, too.
And they worked together fantastically.
And you saw that he definitely, it wasn't like Jedi or nothing. He could have been something else completely. And he could have had a great life.
I think the Jedi almost, it destroyed a certain part of a person, that emotion, that ability to care and act upon it. They saw it as a weakness, whereas it's actually a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can care for somebody, if you can help them, even in the Seven Samurai kind of episode where the Jedi have to work with these bandits or bounty hunters, it shows that, you know, they're like, well, we can't do anything. We can't intervene. This group of people have to fight on their own. And even though they know that they can't defend themselves, it's against the Jedi mindset to help them. It's like,
right.
Well, there's nothing we can do. They're just going to have to die.
Yeah.
And it's like that in itself just shows how wrong-minded the Jedi Order had become.
Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, you're not the Starship Enterprise where you can't interfere. You guys have the means to go in there and help them. And usually they do. You know, they end up helping them fight. But it's usually after a conversation where we can't do this. Yes, we can kind of thing, you know.
Well, and they also, it kind of brings into the whole separation of church and state kind of idea. And that the Jedi had become so ingrained in the Galactic Empire that they couldn't do anything without the Galactic Empire's approval, or they could possibly create a diplomatic disaster. You know,
right.
if they intervened on a certain planet that wasn't involved with the Alliance, they could then create discord among the ranks, and it's just it became too much. They became too involved with something they should have never been involved in.
So it'll be interesting how they show the Jedi Order, how far they've come in the Episode 7. Like, does Luke have apprentices that he's training? Or are there other Jedi Knights that he's already trained with? Or
yeah, have they established a Jedi Order? Or
yeah.
Are they still hermit-like individuals?
Are they struggling with
Yeah.
Like, how much of that kind of bureaucracy will they face? Like, the Republic going, you know what, we don't need any more all-powerful group telling us what to do. Or maybe they want to start a new Jedi Order. I don't know.
Or they could be outcasts and people see Force sensitives as a threat.
Yeah, but once learning that the Emperor was actually Force sensitive, and now they're rid of them, they may not want anyone who has Force powers in charge. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
it almost seems, you're getting into the whole idea that they approach with X-Men. You know, it's kind of a class race warfare almost. But a certain group has an advantage.
Right.
You know, are we going to see the Magneto sort of mentality in Dark Jedi or Sith, where they feel that they are superior and they need to rule over people? There's all kinds of stuff that could be, that they could get into.
Execute Order 66.
I like just Order 6.
Yeah, me too. Execute Order
666.
Yeah. Execute Order just how about 6?
Execute Order 6.
Yes. That means you just order out. You order out lunch with Order 6.
Yes, that's the General Tso's chicken. Fried rice or white rice?
So that's another thing. Okay. Let's talk about all the speculation of the new films. Like, we know that Harrison Ford he's back as Han, which is exciting, but we also know he's now broken his leg on the set of Star Wars.
And for some reason, we still haven't figured... Well, first he broke his ankle,
mm-hmm.
and they said that the Millennium Falcon door closed on it.
Yes.
And now they're saying he broke his leg to the point where he actually had to be flown out and operated on. And he's how old? He's in his 70s, right?
Possibly.
I mean, he's got to have bones like an apple.
I mean, he has bird bones.
He has bird bones. So, I mean, we joke that they should dip him in Bacta, but how much money do you think that Disney was spending on his medical care the moment that happened?
They're like, oh, shit. Get him in an oxygen chamber immediately.
Every story has to be that he's the base of the story. Like, he's the key to this film.
He's 71 years old.
Okay.
So I have a prediction, actually, that I think that Harrison Ford will probably only be in this Star Wars. His character will probably... it'll all be about him trying to come to grips and grow close to his son, probably, who... His son and him have probably quarreled his whole life. And right when him and his son are finally getting together and getting along, Han will die. And his son, who is force sensitive, will be on that teetering between light and dark. What do you think?
Hey, I like it. I think a moon will crash into him.
No!
They'll do saving people from a planet. The moon just literally lands on top of him.
Adam Driver now piloting the Millennium Falcon with Chewie, and picture him in that black vest with a white shirt instead of his dad. Next film, Bill, Leia stays at home, so she's barely in it, you know, and there's still some Luke in there, but, you know, I think everyone has speculated that the new cast will kind of take over. But I think you could still have older characters. If you look at something like Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings, Gandalf doesn't need to be a 22-year-old sexy guy. You
No.
can have older characters in movies. You don't have to write them out of films. You're allowed to have people in their 70s in movies. You know?
I think that Adam Driver will actually play the character of the love child of Nian Nub. And,
I always say his name Nine-Nub.
Nine-Nub. All I know is he looks slightly Celestin.
I always love Nine-Nub when he's complaining to Lando. He's like, and he goes, no, wait a second. My friend, I just picture him going, your effing friends better have their shit together. That's what I picture him saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Lando's like, now hold on, man. Those are my friends.
I could fit your talent in my face folds.
Yeah, Nine-Nub is just talking shit about the main cast through the whole Return of the Jedi movie.
And all of a sudden,
he looks short, but then all of a sudden you see him at the end. The dude's like 6 feet tall.
Yeah, he's over a meter tall. So
yeah, the dude is huge. He's like, oh.
That's not someone I would run into on a dark alley on Coruscant.
Did you see
an underlevel?
Did you see that video of JJ on the set?
Yes, that made me so excited.
Let me play a clip of this real quick, because he's on Tatooine, but you know where he's really at. Because everyone, that was a huge thing on the internet where...
People were pissing and moaning.
Star Wars is in Abu Dhabi.
But isn't there a civil war in Tunisia right now? That's probably not the best place to, you know, shoot a film.
But nobody's going to mess with Star Wars. Everyone loves Star Wars all over the world, Bill.
Yes, we're going to have this, like, guerrilla warfare group move in.
They're like, hey, they're filming Star Wars. Let's stay away from
there. We got Buku skinnies in the perimeter.
Let's check this out.
Hi, it's J.J. Abrams here on the set of Star Wars Episode 7 in lovely Abu Dhabi. All these people around that you hear and see are helping us make this movie, and it is an incredible thing. It's just surreal to be here in this amazing place with these incredible people working on this film. Like a lot of you, I've been a Star Wars fan since I was a kid, so it's truly a surreal thing to be working on this movie. I can't believe it, and we're so grateful to all the Star Wars fans out there for their support and their patience.
And then there's that creature who walks up beside him.
Real creature!
Yeah, like he's all animatronic and had this.
And he's got character.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got like this, like, he's got other, like, animatronic characters in cages on him. And
yeah, very cool.
It's like a crazy lizard donkey.
And I believe J.J. Abrams is probably like, he can't believe where he's at and what he's doing right now.
This has got to be incredible for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a guy who was involved, well, not involved, but just a fan, such a fan of Star Wars that he was a member of the original fan club, the Bantha Tracks, all that stuff. So this is something I always wanted. Since I read about the interview when Damon Lindelof got together with him for Lost and they talked about their love of Star Wars, I was just like, okay, these guys need to be in this. They need to be involved.
And I think it's interesting, you know, we speculated if J.J. Abrams, he'd probably bring that Robert Orci and the other guy over, but he didn't. He got Lawrence Kasdan, which I think says a lot.
That says a huge amount. And the fact that whenever it was first announced that he was going to direct, he said, we're not doing digital. We're shooting on film stock.
Yes,
we're shooting 35 millimeter.
Mm-hmm. He wants to preserve the integrity of the original Star Wars trilogy. He doesn't want to make a J.J. Abrams film. He wants to make a Star Wars film. Trust me.
And it's a whole nother world. Mm-hmm. People are already starting on, you know, the first thing they're like, oh, lens flare.
Yeah.
It was like, well, you know what? Maybe there might be one or two, but it's not what he's going for. That was different. He was trying to create something new for Star Trek. He was trying to create a new, bright, shiny world.
I could see that he was trying to make it his own thing, and I honestly have a feeling that he will do the opposite of that with Star Wars.
I think you're right. It's exactly what's happening.
Basically, if you look at they've already hired Rian Johnson to do Episode 8. And, you know, the director of Looper, Brick, Brothers Bloom. And basically, so we know, J.J. Abrams is here to set up the franchise.
Yeah, he is the captain.
So he's not going to do lens flare all over the movie because Rian Johnson isn't going to match it with all this lens flare too. He would not have that same style. And it would totally make the films look weird back to back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not going to do that. I mean,
and they're going to people who always love Star Wars.
Yeah,
that have a certain an appreciation that are in that age range that they grew up with it. That they are going to make their own films that they see fit, but also stay within that realm of what Star Wars was to all of us.
Right, and we. We speculated in the last episode, Rian Johnson, and he had just done Looper. We had just seen it, and we're like, you know what? Yeah, he could totally handle the Star Wars film. He's inventive. He's creative. He doesn't have huge budgets. Just think of what he would do with a big budget Star Wars film, because you know it's going to be big budget.
Oh, it's
going
to be huge.
I even read at one point the first film actually didn't have a budget. They were just going to make it the way they needed to, and they would see what the budget was. But I've since seen it's like $200 million. But, you know, money's no object to Disney. And
you also have to take into consideration the fact that they are doing practical effects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure, there's going to be plenty of CGI and all that stuff. But this is practical sets.
Part of me was a little disappointed just in the fact that I know digitally, it could look incredible in 3D if they shot it in 3D.
Yeah.
But I understand he wants to shoot it on film just like the original trilogy. I can understand that.
Maybe somewhere as the film series progresses,
mm-hmm.
and we come into new territory, new worlds, maybe the spin-offs We'll be dealing in a digital 3D environment.
Right. They're doing one-shot films, which when I first heard about it, I was like, yeah, sure they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, oh, you mean like the Zack Snyder one-shot that was never getting made? But
what was
now,
it? He was gonna do the Boba Fett film or something.
Yeah, something to do with the Space Samurai or something.
Space Samurai, yeah.
yeah, a samurai epic, I think, is what it was said. But
oh, Jesus.
They have announced 2 one-shot films, Bill.
Yeah, and what I've heard, I've been blown away by, because these are guys again that have always declared their fandom of Star Wars. In fact, Gary Whitta, who was taken up to write, I think, the Gareth Edwards-directed film.
Right, Gareth Edwards of Monsters and most recently Godzilla. I believe it was announced the weekend of Godzilla.
Yeah.
That he would... I wonder if they were like, if this makes a shitload of money, let's announce it. If not, let's wait a while until people forget about it and then announce it. But it was a huge hit, made a shitload of money. They're like, he's going to direct a Star Wars one-shot.
Yeah, and the Gary Whitta thing, he's a guy that has always been outspoken on his Twitter and his Instagram about how much he loves the original trilogy but hates the tinkered with George Lucas films. Mm-hmm. Like I was kind of shocked by that. Like anything else, he would have been the type that would be banned from the ranch, as they would say.
Right.
But with Disney now owning it, they're not afraid of that sort of thing. In fact, I almost think they're embracing it.
Yeah, stay as far away from midichlorians as possible.
Please.
Yeah, they stay as far away from, I don't know, what would you do? Besides midichlorians, what else is a no-no in the new films?
Pod racing.
Pod racing, yeah.
Anything that connects it to the prequels.
Now, let me ask you this. They've also announced that Josh Trank, who directed the great film called Chronicle,
mm-hmm.
which actually the film is one of those found footage films. Nothing
but
like a Star Wars film. Yeah, it does work. It'll be interesting to see what he does. Now, there's a much rumored Han Solo younger years. Do you think that's bullshit?
I don't know. I think it's less bullshit and more hopeful thinking.
I would think they'd want to keep building on this new universe they're going on, not go to the past all of a sudden. But you never know. Maybe it could be like Han Solo older, Han Solo younger, kind of telling a story or something. I don't know.
That's something that it just doesn't exist in my mind. Like you said, I think they want to concentrate on the new.
Yeah.
And don't really want to bother.
A rumored Boba Fett thing. You could definitely do a modern day Boba Fett, which is what I mean, modern day Episode 7 Boba Fett. If you introduced him to see what he's been up to or what he's doing now, he never died in the Sarlacc pit. He crawled out of it.
There's a great book in the EU called Bloodlines that's all about Boba Fett overcoming this. They basically, when they created the clones, they created basically a running clock on them, like an expiration date. And he's trying to defeat that expiration date.
Hey, Boba Fett.
Wow, he's kind of like a replicant or something.
Yeah, exactly. And he has a daughter, and he kind of gets to know her, and he goes back to Mandalore, or maybe it's not Mandalore, but it's one of the planets that the tribe of the Mandalorians have settled, and at one point he's hired to assassinate Thrakken Sal Solo, who is the cousin of Han Solo.
I remember him.
Yeah, he was an asshole.
Oh.
And Han Solo and Boba Fett have to work together. And there's this wonderful dialogue exchange between them throughout the book. So, I mean, I would like to see a Boba Fett storyline that kind of explores his later age. I'd love to see how a director gets him to escape the Sarlacc pit.
Right.
Because he's killed so, unceremoniously in Return of the Jedi.
Much like characters in the prequels, Boba Fett was given a very short shrift. I mean, yeah, sure, they added him back into A New Hope. Or, no, he was never in A New Hope, but they put him in the background. Like, hey, look, more Boba Fett. And it's like, whatever.
Hey, look at that guy.
He just dies.
I know that guy. Yeah, he gets, in the way he gets like, oh, his jetpack got hit. Oh, there he goes, flying past the screen. Bye, Boba.
They made him look like a bumbling idiot.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he, like, that jetpack wouldn't be armored to the point where that shit wouldn't happen.
Boba Fett never stood up to how badass he looked. Am I right?
Well, it's the same as what happened with Darth Maul.
Yes.
You create a bad-looking character... or badass-looking character, a character that people create a better story for him than was actually officially created.
Right.
And then, you know, they realize that with the Clone Wars, and they bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they bring him back is so great. Like, just that he has descended into madness.
Mm-hmm.
And, if he, you know, he wasn't mad already enough, now he's full-on... Looney Tunes.
The kind of thing where, like, being abandoned, like you thought you were special.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I would almost have to think that that's how they would handle the Boba Fett thing if they bring him back. Like, how long does he spend in that Sarlacc pit? How does he, almost like Batman escaping the prison in The Dark Knight Rises.
Right. It'd be,
you know, how does he work his way out of there? Maybe there's a whole prison down there in the Sarlacc pit, and he, like, befriends people. And
there's this funny picture. I have it somewhere. It's some fan art. It's of a bunch of people sitting in the bottom of the Sarlacc pit. They all just look bored because it takes thousands of years to be digested.
Jawa.
Yeah. And just, I think Boba Fett's whistling. There's, like, a word balloon with just a musical note. Like, he's like... Just like nothing to do.
Well, at least they gave it, you know, that mythology that it takes a very long time to be digested. It's just a matter of being able to get out.
Yeah. I mean, he's got that armor on and the Sarlacc can't digest it, so.
Yeah, I believe that's called Beskar that it's made from, that Mandalorian armor. And that's the densest material there is. In fact, lightsabers cannot penetrate it. So apparently just a pole can.
And yet, doesn't he also wear khakis?
Those are Beskar khakis.
Because Boba Fett looks like he's wearing khakis. He's wearing cargo pants.
They're like African hunting pants. They're pantaloons.
It's like, oh, I can't pierce his armor. I'll just swing lower.
White Hunter, Black Heart. Yeah. I don't... You can't even rationalize the way Boba Fett was eliminated. What are you thinking?
He's got flamethrowers, he's got snares, he's got the cool badass thing, but no, just tap his jetpack and he'll fly uncontrollably.
That's the takeoff, and that's the Puma Man button.
Yeah.
Because he flies like a moron.
He looks like Pumaemon.
Pumaemon.
But, I mean, wow. I mean, this is the thing that every week we see new Star Wars, you know, rumors and stuff. It's hard not to become cynical over reading them because you don't know what's BS or not. But this idea that we know right now Episode 7 is being filmed.
Yes.
We know that Harrison Ford is on the mend.
He's floating in Bacta right now.
The latest rumor that is probably bullshit is that could the film be delayed and miss its release date because of Harrison Ford's injury? I think they're just delaying his scenes that are being filmed. I don't know. It could. I don't know. I actually think that December 18th, 2015 is very soon. It doesn't seem...
It's like, incredibly soon.
There's like a lot of post-production work they have to do on these films.
In fact, if they delete it, maybe... If they delay it, maybe they will start to... the fans will start going, oh, it must be terrible.
Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want a rushed Star Wars film.
No, I would prefer... I mean, I know they set up these timetables, but I wouldn't mind mid 2016. I'll be around, I hope.
Also, let me ask you this. Wouldn't a Star Wars film be better in the summer anyway? Why does it need to open on Christmas?
Because they want to get it in for the Oscars. I don't know. That's Yeah, I would rather have a summer Star Wars film.
Well, yeah, just push it back to the summer, and I bet you it will happen, and it's not a big deal. In fact, it'll dominate that summer, so why not do it?
Oh, yeah, it'll kill whatever Marvel has ready for it.
Marvel or DC, you know?
Yeah. I always forget about DC.
Yeah, they're trying to put their shit together, so we'll see what happens.
And in fact, they're just smashing pieces of shit together. Well, to see how big of a ball they can make that then rolls over them.
Hey, Bill, have you heard the latest Star Wars rumor?
No.
Tom Cruise showed up on the set. He's going to be in Star Wars.
I knew it.
Yep, he's huge friends with JJ because of the Mission Impossible, and he's going to be in Star Wars.
KSW, man, KSW.
So,
keep Scientology working.
I thought that was like a droid in Star Wars, like IG-88.
That's what he's going to play.
He's going to play KSW-88 or something?
Yeah. Oh, my God. That would be wonderful. Oh, if he was like some, like, KSW, what do they call the people that, suppressive personalities or something? They love it, like, acronyms in Scientology. Mm-hmm. So there's like a suppressive person. He's KSWSP1.
So all I have to say is this. If you were going to put Tom Cruise in the Star Wars movies, it's no doubt a cameo that you barely even notice. So is it worth reporting?
In fact, he's going to be covered in makeup because you don't want to see. It's going to be to the point where
you
don't
want
to know it's him.
Tom Cruise to pull everyone out of the film at a certain scene.
You have to think about the way Edgar Wright does cameos in his films.
Or even look at like... Phantom Menace, like, George Lucas put all the ILM guys, the producers, in the background. And you don't know who the hell any of those guys are.
That's goddamn Sio Bibble!
Yeah, all of Ron Howard's kids are in the movie.
That kid's strange looking. He must be Clint... What the hell is his name? Shit, Clint Howard's son.
Clint Howard, yeah. But I think it's funny, they just need new Star Wars stories to report every week, I think.
Yes, well, they're starting to make them up.
But I know, here's the main things that we'll eventually find out that everyone's speculating, and that is who each of the new cast members play.
Yes.
And also what Gareth Edwards and Josh Trank are directing, what those stories are going to be and what are they about. So that'll be pretty cool finding those things out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the teaser. Like, JJ always loves doing a teaser.
I was already thinking about that. When we do the sale of Star Wars Part 3, it's going to be about the trailer.
We're going to spend so much time.
The teaser or the trailer, we're going to be pausing, rewinding, loading up QuickTime build.
Do you remember when that first teaser for Super 8 came out and everybody's like, what the hell is it? It's just a door.
Yeah. He knows how to do that marketing.
He does.
I almost think that kind of marketing hurt Super 8 because no one knew what the hell it was.
Yeah.
If they would have just advertised it's about a monster, people probably would have gone to see it better. But you can do that with a Star Wars film because everyone's going to go see it anyway. So you can be clever as you want to.
Yeah.
You can't do that with unknown properties. You can do it with a known property. I know it worked with Cloverfield. Didn't work with Super 8.
No, with Super 8, people were like, is it Godzilla?
It's more that Cloverfield bullshit. I'm not going to see that. Let me ask you this. When Episode 7 comes out, maybe fly down here?
Oh my God, it's a guarantee.
Maybe us get in tents and wait outside, huh?
I would hire a homeless person to do it.
Dude, when Phantom Menace was coming out, and I kept seeing on the news people camping out.
Outside of Man's Chinese Theater.
Well, even here in Texas, they showed these dorks, they all lightsabers, they were playing. And I remember calling Steve, dude, do you want to? And he's like, what, are you crazy? And I go, I'm kind of getting caught up in this. Maybe we should go camp out or something. And then it was like, no, and we never did it. But I almost got swept up in it. Like, I want to do it. Let's go.
You know, it's like a sense of community.
Yeah, this was back before I had a daughter, and Heather probably wouldn't have cared. And, you know, it's just like, I'm going. And I remember what I did is when I got tickets to The Phantom Menace, I actually saw it in a theater that I probably wouldn't go to now. And there wasn't XD then, but
oh my god,
I knew they had a pretty big main theater. And
but they did have IMAX then, because that's how I saw it.
I didn't see it in IMAX, but I went to lunch and was like, I'm going to go get tickets, go to lunch. Little did I know, I was like in line for 2 hours, and I was like,
oh my
I should
god.
Be back at work right now. And finally, I got my tickets, didn't get to eat lunch, and went back and kind of pretended nothing happened. And I remember my my friend Bill Pally, he goes, so did you get your tickets? I was like, shut up, man.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't want anyone
what
to
tickets?
Know where I was. Like,
yeah, I when I saw it, it was actually that IMAX hadn't, of course, it wasn't digital yet in IMAX. It was 35 millimeter projected onto the large IMAX screen. So it wasn't any bigger than it would be. It actually looked like you were watching a letterbox film on a 4:3 television. So it didn't. It wasn't the best presentation, but I just remember watching it and just being like, "The fuck."
No, like not basically. I think I was kind of numb, but I was still exciting. Like we went to eat at Denny's and we were sitting around, and I remember the first thing my dad talked about. He goes, Jar Jar kind of reminds me of, like, Step and Fetch It. And I was like, I knew immediately I did not like Jar Jar. I thought, I was like, I don't know what the shit that was about, but how about that lightsaber fight, huh?
And we how about that music? About,
yeah, like, that was a cool saber battle at the end and blah, blah, blah. I wish it kind of would have been more Darth Maul. But anyway, so obviously I missed something, Bill. I need to go see it again. So what did I do? Go back, I don't know if it was the next day or the day after, went to see The Phantom Menace again. And it's like, you see, yeah, I'm liking this, man. This Star Wars, woohoo, you know.
So
cool.
You're lying to yourself.
Let's go to Taco Bell and get some of the Star Wars stuff. And all right, well, hey, I heard so-and-so is going to go see The Phantom Menace. They haven't seen it. You want to go? Yeah, let's go again. Let's go. And then it's the third time, it's like, yeah, that saber battle wasn't as, I don't know, it was still cool, but you know, it sure is boring when they go to Coruscant. Actually, I know that when they go to Coruscant, I can get up and pee. And, you know, get some more candy or get a refill on the popcorn. And I'm not missing anything. In fact, there's a good 15-minute window here where I could go do anything.
I'm going to go get a hot dog down the street. I'll be
I'm
going
to go talk to some strangers. Or yeah. And then you can come back and, okay, you're back in time for the saber battle. Because let's face it. Episode 1 is good for two things. That was the pod race, and that was for the lightsaber duel.
Duel of the Fates.
The Duel of
the
Fates. Which, by the way, I never want to hear that music again.
No.
Can I just... Do you agree with me?
Yes.
I never want to hear Duel of the Fates again for as long as I live.
I remember. This is when, like, Total Request Live was still a big deal.
Yes.
And they were like, okay, this is it. We're a week before Star Wars and we have the music video for Duel of the Fates. And I remember watching it and going, oh my god, this is gonna be awesome.
This music is badass! And then it's like, cut to 2014, heard it a gazillion times, no thank you.
That makes me physically uncomfortable.
I don't want to hear this anymore, and please don't have it anywhere in episode 7.
Oh, I don't think you will. In fact, I was is it wrong to say I was disappointed that John Williams was brought on?
No, not necessarily. Well, maybe if you wanted something new, but I think when...
I didn't necessarily want something new. I just didn't want John Williams.
I was
honestly hoping that somebody exciting or, I don't know, or even like a co-musical director.
Well,
I don't know.
I think John Williams can still be exciting as long as he creates new music for the film and we don't just retread over things. Of course, we're going to have the Star Wars theme.
Yeah.
Maybe a new version of some kind of Imperial March that's with the new bad guy. I don't know. But as long as I honestly felt like in Attack of the Clones, a lot of the music were tracks for episode one that they just were replaying over and over again.
Well, that's my biggest problem right now with John Williams is I feel he uses too much of his past stuff.
As long as he is creatively passionate. Out of what he's doing, it's going to be fantastic.
Past the original Star Wars opening theme, I do not want to hear anything that makes me think of the original films or prequels. I honestly want new music.
Because if I hear that
Imperial March, it's going to take me out of the movie.
Well, no, I disagree with you there. They should definitely be... When they show Luke, we should get a musical cue for Luke.
Oh, we should definitely get Luke's theme. Like him standing looking at the two sons of Tatooine and maybe
there'll be him looking at his two sons.
And then there's Tom Cruise dressed up as a robot going, ooh ah.
No, no, no. Ooh, ah. Tom Cruise as one of his sons. He's short enough to play young.
No, I want that. I want that delivery robot back.
Ooh, yeah! What the hell was that? Ooh, with the spatula hands?
I thought, like, what is she doing? That's what killed Padme. Was just the blood loss from her digging in her private area.
That spatula.
It looked like
hands.
Ice cream scoops.
I got to tell you. There's no way you can lose with John Williams doing the soundtrack.
Okay,
he's the guy. He is the guy. He did it all. I think if you got somebody else to do the one-offs, that's fine. I don't expect John Williams to do that. But if
you're
continuing from Return of the Jedi to Episode 7 to The Ancient Fear, or whatever it's going to be called, you need John Williams to keep going. I honestly think that.
Yeah, I hope it's okay. I hope it's good. I'm sure it will be.
It will be. It's John Williams.
All right.
As long as there's no Duel of the Fates.
Just don't play it again, please.
No, I'm not. I've had enough of that. And just, I would say the two things that Duel of the Fates got played out, but also I couldn't stand from the get-go the romantic theme from Attack of the Clones. Of Padme and Anakin.
You know what's funny is I don't even remember it. I put it so far out of my head that I'm sure the moment I heard it, I would go, oh, yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
Come on, you remember it now, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I hate sand.
Why did it have to be sand? So what do you hope to see in Episode 7, Bell?
I hope to see a proper story with real characters. I don't even necessarily need a big bad. I know we'll get a big bad.
Or at least the setup of a big bad.
Yeah, of a big bad.
I want there to be a villain because Episode 7, there was... Darth Maul, but he was nothing. It was, ugh. You need to have an ominous presence. Someone threatening. That's where I think Max von Sydow will come in. Let me ask you this. You know a lot about the myth of... you know a lot about the lore of Star Wars.
Sure, yeah.
Even though, only two there are. A master and apprentice. Could there be a Sith dude somewhere... who's not in power, waiting to take power?
Absolutely. In fact, I think that's probably how it'll work. Because we've talked about it on the show before, and we've talked about it just personally, that the Sith themselves are willing to wait. Mm-hmm. They will, plant seeds, and they're totally willing to watch that sapling grow.
Those dudes have incredible patience.
Yeah, they thrive on their hatred, and it's powerful that they can wait for something to make small moves and wait for big things to happen. And I think that's probably what'll happen. Is I wouldn't call it an ancient fear, but that might be what it involves.
Yeah, just picture this, like. they've been waiting to take control and all this time, or, you know, rise to power. And then you hear this friggin' farm boy took out the main guy, and now the Jedi are on the rise again. It's like, no, I gotta put the kibosh on this crap.
Yeah, we weren't expecting this. This has gotta end.
The last thing we need is those boring Jedi back in power. I'm gonna take these mothers out.
Those goody-two-shoe monk boys.
Without their, you know, possessions and stuff. Boring.
We have no material possessions. We have only ourselves.
And
the Force.
I tend to mooch off all my friends. wouldn't you know Obi-Wan isn't caring? Yeah, don't worry, Obi-Wan. I got your lunch. Thank you. Well, you know, I served it for greater good. Yeah, whatever.
I feel a great disturbance in the Force. You forgot my Subway.
Where's my
chocolate? I said double meat.
Wow. So I'm really excited about all this stuff, Bill. All the Star Wars. We're soon going to be bombarded with Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars.
Yeah, we are. And we already are, honestly. But I'm just excited that it's moved past the Lucasfilm era. We're into a new world, a brave new world.
Dude, this was our dream. We always wondered, oh, what would it be like if George just loosened his, control over Star Wars and let somebody else do it? And that's what's happening.
We've talked about it for years.
Yeah, and, you know, he's setting up a new Star Wars museum in Chicago, so he's keeping busy doing other stuff, right?
Yeah, and that was surprising because a lot of people thought it would go to L.A. or San Francisco. So I'm glad that he put it in the Midwest. I think it's only appropriate.
Yeah, it's much closer for you to visit there.
Who the hell wants to go to California?
Yeah. Yeah, I would if it was there.
No, I don't know. Maybe one day. I think there's more of a chance of me going to Chicago than there is California. But that's just me.
All I want to know this, Bill, is will Harrison Ford lose Star Wars role because of injury?
I think he's actually going to lose his leg.
I
bet you that's on TMZ one day.
Listen, Star Wars fans are reporting there was an emergency meeting Monday morning at London's Pinewood Studios. Now the estimates say Ford will be away longer than estimated, recovering from the broken leg he suffered when one of the hydraulic doors on the Millennium Falcon fell on him. Among the options reportedly discussed were temporarily ceasing production, rewriting the script to accommodate Ford's recovery, or, breathe, writing Ford out of the script entirely. Yeah, that's gonna happen.
Or none of the above, because it never happened.
This person actually wrote, excuse me a second, in parentheses, begins sobbing, feverishly tears room apart, looking for inhaler. Yeah, that's
blog is this that wrote this garbage?
This is a writer with the Contra Costa Times.
Oh, okay, I've never heard of them. Good.
As UK pop culture site Metro reports, Ford, who the hell says, was considered the lead actor in the movie, with Han Solo supposedly being a big part of the plot. Hey, I have an idea. Tom Selleck was also almost Indiana Jones.
Tom Cruise is the new Han Solo.
That's it. No, they're not going to rewrite the movie while they're filming it for this. He's injured.
Never tell me the odds.
If anything, what they'll do is he'll have a lot more seating parts in the movie where he's sitting down.
He's going to be sitting in the Millennium Falcon. He's going to be sitting at the Jedi Temple.
He's going to be sitting behind tables, hiding his giant cast.
He's going to be down in the cargo hold.
Here's all of a sudden this. Han Solo all of a sudden has a hoverboard he rides around on, and he's like doing the whole movie on a Segway that's green, and they just erase it out of the film.
What if Han Solo is now like a paraplegic? Someone shot first, and he got shot in the spine or something. He's got to hover around like Professor X.
Here's another one, Bill. Page 6. Oscar Isaac's role in Star Wars to be expanded after Ford's injury. With Harrison Ford temporarily out of commission on the set of J.J. Abrams' highly anticipated Star Wars Episode 7. Oh, I'm glad they told us all that, Bill, aren't you? I didn't know what they were talking about.
I had no idea.
Hollywood sources say that Oscar Isaac's role in the movie is being expanded. Details of Isaac's role have been kept strictly secret, but there's speculation he plays a descendant.
But they know that it's been expanded.
There's speculation he plays a descendant or even the son of Ford's Han Solo character, who has an especially large role. But after Ford was injured on the sci-fi epic set, spies say Isaac's part is now being extended as a Plan B.
Wow. That's nice that you have a Plan B script.
Yeah, they're now beefing up his role to be bigger with Harrison injured.
Mm.
Oh.
And much like in Llewyn Davis, he's going to be carrying around a cat the entire movie.
Rumors have spread that Ford's injury suffered on June 11th at Pinewood. Oh, we already established that, Bill. Oh, also, when a door fell on him from the iconic spaceship, the Millennium Falcon, are worse than first thought. He broke his left leg, underwent surgery, and will go through rehab before returning to work. He is expected to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Shooting will continue as planned while he recuperates. Okay.
Okay, let's just put this in perspective. That's 2 months of time, 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
In the grand scheme of shooting a film this large, what the hell is that? Nothing. That's like a splash.
I think, what are they filming for 6 months, right?
Yeah, so if they're filming for 6 months, you don't think that they're going to be able to move his stuff? And yet this entire story is about the fact that they might have to rewrite or make another, a different part larger. I mean, they're canceling out their own story.
Do they realize the setbacks that the first Star Wars went through? Or even like episode one when the friggin' monsoon hit the set and destroyed everything?
Everything,
They had to rebuild everything. Shit happens on movies. You don't go rewriting everything, and you certainly don't give an actor a bigger part because one of the world's leading box office draws is injured. You don't write him out of the film.
No.
It's stupid.
It is the worst waste of bandwidth. I mean, when we were young and when, even in the era that the Phantom Menace came out, the internet was still relatively in its infancy. You know, there wasn't the glut of blogs there is now. Bullshit was on forums.
You didn't have a couple of chuckleheads talking Star Wars on podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, who would want to listen to that shit?
A couple of dorks talking about Star Wars. Boring.
But even back then, you know, we didn't have this back then. It wasn't important because it's not important.
Right. I mean, it's clickbait, you know? Click on this. Like this one. Tom Cruise may play cameo in Star Wars Episode 7. This is all the story says, and it's no information. Tom Cruise is in talks to make a cameo appearance in Star Wars Episode 7, according to reports. Notice how no one is mentioned. A film insider, no one is mentioned by name, told the
source
that the Edge of Tomorrow star... Oh, that's what he starred in, Bill, in case you didn't know who Tom Cruise is.
No idea. What's Edge of Tomorrow?
He'd been in London for over a week and even met with J.J. Abrams, who you know is directing Episode 7 of Star Wars.
So he happened to be in London at the time, maybe on a promotional junket, and he stopped to have dinner with a friend or visit the set.
Exactly. But not only that, he met up with J.J. Abrams and some other people from Star Wars over the weekend. And according to a publication, Abrams... Wait, what publication?
Yeah.
Abrams is said to be keen to get Cruise involved as he loved working with the actor whenever he got the chance. Earlier, Abrams produced Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol and is producing Mission Impossible 5. And that's the end of the story, Bill.
there's the end of the story is that there is no story.
There's no story. Wow. I love these Star Wars stories. This is what we're going to get every week, so I like just...
We might as well talk about them because they're hilarious.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the... But right now, the Harrison Ford delaying it is all over the place, plus Tom Cruise's cameo. Can you see if you can find any ridiculous rumor?
All right. Let me see here. Nine Ways Chicago is like Star Wars. That just doesn't matter at all. I mean, Tom Cruise denies Star Wars.
Oh,
talk.
No.
Yes, he has denied it.
The story's already being shot down.
Yep. Tom Cruise has insisted the Force will not be with him.
His reps slammed
the reports. He was in talks to cameo in Star Wars.
He went out to dinner with a friend.
Yes, the rumor mill was abuzz with claims that the Top Gun star would be appearing alongside Harrison Ford. He's now alongside. So, like, maybe he would push Harrison Ford's wheelchair. Oh, God. The spokesman for Tom Cruise told Entertainment Tonight Canada there's no truth to the rumors, adding it's pure fiction. And, of course, you already said this stuff, the claims, the source told Tom has been in London for over a week, met with some people, went to the Belgravia Hotel for dinner and drinks, blah, 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 blah.
Excellent.
And it's just, it was nothing. Nothing. It's already shot down.
It's clickbait.
It's horseshit.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to deal with. And we're talking about this, and I've actually, you know, I had, when you like something on Facebook, whether it be, Slash Film or, you know, any sort of film blog, they show up in your feed. And I got so tired of these stories pictures of circles that people were speculating were the feet of walkers, of AT-ATs.
Yeah, or AT-AT, as I
or
call
AT-AT.
It. Could this possibly be the foot of an AT-AT? Now, if that does exist here, could it be possible that part of the film takes place on Ice Planet Hoth from the film Empire Strikes Back? That's the thing.
Why are they in the desert? Oh, my God, we've never seen them in the desert.
One thing, I know maybe it's part of being an editor where, like, you have to include where Hoth was and what film it appeared and why. No, you don't. When I read stuff and it tells me in the film episode 5, Empire Strikes Back on the Ice Planet Hoth, and it fills in all that information for the layman, it gets on my nerves.
But to properly pander, you have to include all that horseshit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and that's basically all it is pandering clickbait. We're going to continue to have it.
I have a new rumor, Bill.
Okay.
John Boyega's character in Star Wars Episode 7. A friend of ours has confirmed the obvious. John Boyega is playing an Imperial. I won't say Sith. An Imperial of some kind. Okay?
I just read that he's playing a black man.
I've read that he's playing an evil trooper or pilot of some kind.
Okay.
The rumor is so rampant that we are not ignoring it, even though it's unconfirmed.
Wow. I heard that he fights an alien that resembles a gorilla and has glowing teeth.
Well, here's what the rumor is, that he actually starts out the film on the side of the villains. He's shot down over Tatooine, and he is injured. The things we heard from Abu Dhabi about the crash ship is rumored to have him, his fighter, crash. The girl character rescues him from the wreckage. I can't even read anymore. This is ridiculous.
That sounds terrible.
They're making shit up as they go along.
That just sounds like English patient Star Wars movie.
Can you and I please just come up with new Star Wars rumors every day?
Okay, we'll start working on that. I'll just start making shit up and hashtag it Star Wars BS.
StarWarsBullshit.com. We're starting that new thing there. But, you know, I guess that goes with the way things are, Bill. With new films, it's all about, we live in the world of speculation. And the thing is,
speculation, internet age, horseshit.
For years, we wondered what episodes 7, 8, and 9 would be, because we actually thought that there would be a 7, 8, and 9. You know, George Lucas is working on them, and then one day he said, no, actually, I never said that. The person misunderstood me when I said that.
Well, I think there was an interview with Mark Hamill on, like, the Today Show or something, where George Lucas said to him at some point, hey, what are you going to be doing around, like, 2014? You know, and that's, I don't know, that maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but I know there's that interview.
Oh.
So, yeah, there you go. Inception or what? No, it's just bullshit.
How long did he know they were going to go back and film more Star Wars?
He knew for a very long time.
Like for his whole life?
His whole life.
Holy shit. So the Millennium Falcon doors crushed his leg then, right?
Yes.
You know, the coolest thing is when JJ left that little note. I wish people would stop leaking photos from Episode 7 and making ridiculous claims that the Millennium Falcon is in the movie. That was really cool, and it was on the little space chessboard.
Yeah, the Dejarik.
Yeah, but it's like, oh, we all knew if they're going to have Han Solo in the movie, of course they're going to have the Millennium Falcon.
No, the Millennium Falcon's now in a trash bin somewhere.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, he left it behind.
Imagine this, Bill. They make a new Star Wars, and they never even mention it or show it.
Like it never existed.
Wait, why? Where's the Millennium Falcon? Are they ever going to mention that it exists in the movie? No. It got trashed, you know?
Yeah, he lost it back to Lando.
Do you remember way back watching Return of the Jedi for the first time, and Han saying, I don't know, I have a feeling this is the last time I'll ever see her. And you're like, no!
Hey, you awake?
Yeah, I just got a funny feeling, like I'm not going to see her again.
You're thinking, oh my god, they're going to blow up the Millennium Falcon
blow it up.
Movie. And then, of course,
Lando's going to die.
And so is Nine Numb. And then there's that part, it's enveloped in flames, and then it squirts out. And he's like, yes!
That sounds gross.
Yep, it squirts out. And,
it becomes liquefied. And squirts out.
Millennium Falcon's made of liquid metal, Bill.
Oh, mimetic polyalloy.
Liquid metal. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. About it squirting?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see it in its liquid metal state in the new film, Bill. I don't know about you.
It no longer rusts.
Knives and stabbing weapons.
Oh,
no.
It can turn into a gigantic flying blade.
Oh, man. This is what I want to see. Here's my list of things that must be in this new film, Bill. And there don't have to be a lot of them. There must be one exciting, awesome chase scene in the film.
Yes.
Be it in space or on speeder bikes or something like that. Maybe on forklifts in a warehouse. I don't care.
a cherry picker.
Yeah, I just want badass chasing. There also has to be... There must be one incredible lightsaber fight in the film. Am I right?
Yes.
There has to be.
There will be. There has to be. And it will be scored by Duel of the Fates.
No!
It'd be funny if, like, they threw the lightsaber out and it cuts through the choir, just cuts them all in half.
Yeah, they're like, blah! Beheads all of them.
But their heads keep singing.
Also, here's what else I need in the new Star Wars film. Lots of witty banter between characters.
Required.
We got none of that in, and I'm not kidding.
We literally got none of that.
We got none of that in the prequels, and don't tell me Anakin and Obi-Wan talking about falling in a nest of Gundarks was witty banter. Or when they're on, arrived.
It's so funny that honestly, there is no life in the prequels. Witty dialogue.
We came here to save you, Master. Oh, good job. It's like,
thanks a lot. You're my bro.
Buzz droids. rain shields.
Hit the eye.
And please don't let Hayden Christian anywhere near the set of the film.
Aw, leave him alone. I don't blame him.
Aw, come on.
I don't blame him just as much as I don't blame Jake Lloyd for being a terrible child actor.
Don't let that jumper anywhere near the film.
Hey, I like Jumper.
It's working! It's working!
Biggest overstatement ever.
It's working!
It's limping along!
Where's my friend with the frying pan? Why is he holding a frying pan, Bill?
We talk about that every time.
It's a mystery, I'll never know.
I was going to bring that up.
It's totally wizard, Annie.
Banks himself in the head with a frying pan.
I'm a person, and my name is Anakin.
Oh, man. And here's another thing, and I know it will have it, but I can't wait. All Star Wars films have such incredible sound mixes. Everything, doors, buttons, and like ships and guns, they all have these cool, incredible sound effects.
And they brought the original guy on. I'm so sorry, let me say that again. And they brought the original guy on.
And that would be Ben Burtt?
Ben Burtt, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm, you know, as it gets closer, like, it's almost like right now we have to protect ourselves from getting too worked up. But I am, believe it or not, excited about it.
I'm extremely excited. I'm past the point of speculation. I am in protected bring the film to me mode. And I will be until I see that first teaser. Then I will lose my shit.
Right.
But right now, I'm very cautious.
Dead. Oh my gosh. I can't wait to see Tatooine. It's going to be awesome.
Stop it. You're making me excited.
Okay. Here's another way. I won't get you excited by this, Bill, but just picturing old Han, old Chewie inside the Millennium Falcon standing there. How cool would that be? Just picture old Han banging on it.
And then Chewie poking his head out from, like, the top. Like,
oh, my God.
Banging on shit. No, that goes here, that goes there, that goes there.
And then also, you know, Chewie seeing Luke and rubbing his hair, messing it all up. Oh, man. I can't wait.
When I hear that sound, I get emotional.
It's going to be good stuff.
I'm such a dork.
So what do you say, Bill? We regroup here for part three when a Star Wars teaser comes out.
Yeah, I think we should. Then we can speculate on the teaser for an hour.
Okay, what is he doing here? What is this guy? And
if you go to frame 514, you see a gray gunmetal with slight rust. Yeah. I think that may be the exterior of...
Oh, I can't wait! That's going to be awesome. And I guess, you know, that's our show, guys. Bill and I have just been... all we can do is speculate, and that's what the whole internet's doing, and we're going to stop it for now.
Yeah, all we can do is speculate and make fun of the speculation.
Yeah, we're speculating, but also we hate speculation, so we're kind of just screwed.
We're speculative of the speculation.
But, Bill, I love talking Star Wars with you.
Always.
It's one of my favorite things to do, and I can't wait for us to talk more Star Wars. And I hope everyone enjoyed the show. Hopefully you did. It's just us, you know, a lot of hot air. But also, I want to thank...
We could lift the balloon.
Yeah. But I also want to say, I want to thank all of our patrons, people who have become patrons for us on patreon.com/landfill. If you enjoyed the show and you'd like to hear more shows like this, become a patron. You could really help us continue on cranking out a lot of great content, entertainment, Bill. Do you agree?
It means an unexploded Alderaan to us.
Yes, it does.
It means a world that no longer exists to us.
You don't want to hear millions of voices suddenly cease.
Because that will happen if you do not become a patron.
Right.
Patreon.
You don't want to hear three voices suddenly cease. That would be
awesome. At least two and a half.
When the planet Mulberry explodes. We need your help. Go to patreon.com/landfill. Become a patron. It'll be awesome. Look at all the rewards there. Most of all, the main reward is more of us, baby. More shows. That's right.
We're just going to throw ourselves out there like a cloying mess of craziness.
Let me put it this way. The closer it gets to Star Wars, more Star Wars specials coming your way.
More speculation.
More speculation shows. You're going to love
it. Just think of that Star Wars show a year from now, or a little more than a year from now, that we will be recording together in Texas.
I know. Trust me. The minute we get out of that theater, I'm hitting record on my phone, and we're going to do a walk back to the car in the parking lot just talking about Episode 7.
Yeah. Wait, it's going to happen. I guarantee it.
Hated it. No!
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be horrible?
That'd be horrible.
That would be, like, the worst nightmare on Earth.
I can't even fathom it. Or, Bill, you're like, I loved it. And I'm like, I hated it. And we get into a fight. And you have audio of it. How great would that be?
That might be very sad.
Steven's trying to break us up. We get arrested.
The breakdown of friendship.
We get thrown in jail.
I have a feeling I will be in tears. I won't be able to talk.
That was the greatest Star Wars ever. Just think about this. Okay,
terrible. What was he thinking?
I know we're wrapping up the show.
Har Har Binks. The son?
Oh, no, the son of Jar Jar. But let's... Bill, not only will we get a new Star Wars film, we're going to get lots and lots of toys! Woohoo!
That's true.
We're going to get lots and lots of video games.
I can't wait for Disney Infinity 4.0 Star Wars.
No!
Excuse me.
But we're going to get lots of games on all the systems, Star Wars games. We're going to get lots of fast food chain tie-ins and scratch-off games and all that kind of shit.
I need a Whataburger cup.
It'll probably be Taco Bell and KFC again. Right?
I hope not.
Remember those commercials, Bill, of Colonel Sanders fighting along with an employee from Taco Bell and a Pepsi guy?
Seriously?
You don't remember those?
No!
Oh my God, okay, hold still.
I just don't remember it, or okay, I missed it? No, I've never seen that.
Okay, hold on. Hold on, Jeff.
Are you saying that Colonel Sanders literally had a lightsaber?
Yes.
No!
Let me try to find it real quick. Okay, I'm going to send this to you in a second. Okay, it had a Pepsi girl with Colonel Sanders had a lightsaber, okay?
You're kidding me.
And then they get rescued by, who is it?
Hey, look what I found.
It's the Yo Quiero Taco Bell guy.
I'm sorry, I just dropped the F-bomb. I didn't mean to. Oh my God.
Yep. Wow.
That's hilarious.
They had a series of them. And they're fighting battle droids.
Oh my God, I'm watching it now.
My favorite is Colonel Sanders with a lightsaber, Bill.
You're a real colonel, right?
Oh my God.
You could win one of millions of prizes instantly, even a Star Wars speeder.
Who won that speeder? I want to know.
We need to find that person.
Because we want to invite him to go with us and take us to the film and that. He's like, dude, that thing was a piece of shit. It broke down like a week later after I got it.
I hated it. It was terrible.
But we're going to be bombarded with Star Wars, and we hope you're all prepared.
Oh, I love this commercial so much. How did I miss this?
I don't know. It was all over the place. Maybe it didn't air in your market, maybe.
Maybe.
Do you have Taco Bells there?
Oh, God, yeah. That's the only taco place we have.
Huh. It should have
aired. It's not like Texas where there's a taco joint on every corner.
Yeah, there's Taco Bell, Taco Casa, Taco Bueno,
Del Taco.
Del Taco. Taco Sigabuku. All sorts of places.
And they're all next to Korean donut shops.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. But there's now taquerias, which is homemade tacos everywhere.
What is a taqueria?
That's where, like, real Mexican food. Well, Bill, thank you so much for another Star Wars show. I can't wait to do another one with you in the future when we get to see that Star Wars trailer. Everybody, thank you for listening, and we're going to see you next time. And with that, Bill, may the Force be with you.
You're a real colonel, right?
Conversation anyway.
Now this is podcasting.